Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Monday Motivation Meeting. My name is Steve Clayton, normally joined by my co-host Darcy J. Smythe, but he is still in Japan, living it up with his family, having a great time. So keen to join with you all and welcome. Let me make the chat available to everyone in case you got some more questions coming in. Here we go. And I believe it's like a public holiday for like pretty much everyone except for Queensland. So expecting a lot of people are having some holidays today, but us Queenslanders, just working. Not here in New South Wales, this Jeanette. No holiday in New South Wales. Okay, so it must be just like Victoria, Tasmania, something like that. So look at us. Look at us building the Australian economy while everyone's having a little snooze. So good morning to you all. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. I certainly did. Plenty of good quality family time, feeling fresh for this week. And this week we're changing up the format a little bit. We're obviously going to be talking about closing still and BOFU because that was last week's theme and poll results. But this week we're going to be doing 12 rapid fire questions that you guys have asked over the previous episodes. So thank you to everyone who has thrown in some questions. We're going to be going through them. So hopefully can give you a ton of really quick, practical value based on, yeah, the things that you guys are asking us and the things that you'd like to see more in future episodes. So absolutely keen for that. Let us know. As always, you're tuning in solo, you're in the boardroom. Who we got on the call? I always love to know. But massive welcome to you all. Keen for today's session. And as always, keep the chat alive. Keep it firing. It gets me fired up the more that you guys interact. So, and of course, because I'm running solo, the more that you can interact, the more fun it is for me as well. No one likes just chatting into a random ether of the internet where you're the only one on it. But if you are a first timer, we do this every week on a Monday, 8 to 8:30, 30 minutes, diving into some mindset stuff, few models that you could put into your week, time savers and time hacks, and then question of the week. But as we mentioned, this one's changing it up just a little, where we're doing some rapid fire questions. And if you've got more questions that you want to throw on top, let me know. We got some loners, we got some remote offices, solo office. Love it that you guys tuning in here. You're choosing to take some time to hang out with us. Just let me know if my camera's on again. On the road, says Andrew. Well, keep those eyes on the road, mate. We take no responsibility for any future accidents. Camera's working. Thank you. Beautiful. All right, so let's dive in, team. As we mentioned, every week, 8 to 8:30. Darcy's going to be back next week, probably a little jet lagged, but keen to bring the future episodes. And if you are wanting any like replays of previous episodes, we're uploading them as a video podcast. All you need to do is go to Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts and just search for The Bigger Game. The Bigger Game podcast is all of these episodes, plus some long form interviews with sales leaders around the world. So go check it out. But our Monday mindset, before we dive into our quick fire questions today, team, is this. If you ask, you'll always have the opportunity for a yes. If you don't ask, the answer is almost always no. This is a big thing, right? Us as sales professionals, really, when you boil our job, it's all about asking great questions. But when it comes to closing, when it comes to the end of the sale, I know within myself, and I've noticed it with plenty of people that we coach, we get afraid to ask for the business, ask for the order, ask for whatever it is that we want to see. And so today there's a bunch of questions that you guys are asked that are relating to this. But the first thing that I'd love for you to think about this week is build your ask muscle, right? And the way you do this is you ask for nearly everything, okay? There's a great little language pattern that I've learned recently that I'm using all the time, which is what's the chances, okay? And I'm noticing that I'm just starting to ask anyone and everything. I'm picking up a new car this week, trading in the BMW M3, getting an Amarok. Look at me go, three kids getting practical again. But even that, you know, hey, what's the chance we can get that thrown in? Hey, what's the chance we can have it done by? Hey, what's the chance that I can get a better deal on this? Hey, what's the chance that we can pump that trade a little more? And whenever you say, what's the chance, the brain kind of goes, you get a pretty good gauge pretty quickly whether they're like leaning towards or leaning against. You're checking into a hotel today. Hey, what's the chances I can get an upgrade? You're jumping on a flight. Hey, what's the chance I can get a bit more space here? It's amazing what happens when you simply ask, but often what we do is we just don't ask at all, and then you kind of get disappointed that you're sitting there. You can ask this even about the deals that you're working on this week. Hey, what's the chance that this actually happens? Hey, what's the chance we move forward on this? Hey, what's the chance that we're the ones you're going to work and pick for this project? It's a really simple thing to start practicing, but what's the chance is a beautiful little language pattern that you can use to build your ask muscle. And I want you to practice this in nearly every area of your life. When you're in relationship, when you're at the cafe, when you're talking to a client, like, hey, what's the chance I can grab your mobile number? You'd be amazed at how many times people give you the answer you're looking for just by asking. And so that's a big mindset shift that we want to focus on this week is if you're not asking for business at the moment, if you're not asking for their mobile number, if you're not asking for better deals, like you could even ring your suppliers. Hey, what's the chance we could review some of our pricing here? You'd be amazed at what happens just on the other end of that simply by asking. So really simple Monday mindset this week, but if you practice this, it can make a huge difference. Jeanette says, love listening via Spotify when on the road. Awesome, Jeanette. Love to hear it. So let's dive into some rapid fire questions. I've got 12 key questions that you guys have asked that I've literally just copied and pasted word for word, and going to have a crack at answering as many of them as I can for you today. Hopefully give you a ton of value. So first question that came in, I hate the position where the client says, I will get back to you. Can you help with strategies to prevent me getting into this position? Let us know in the chat. Have you guys ever experienced this too, where you seem to lose all power and all control and the client says, hey, let me get back to you. And we just know as salespeople, like, oh no, oh, we're in dangerous territory here. It's not going to end well for us. So a couple of tips with this one. First one is what we call priming. So priming is the way that you can essentially plant future next steps earlier in your discussion. You can prime on a discovery call. It sounds like this. Hey, so the purpose of this call, Jeanette, is I want to kind of understand one, two, three key areas in your business. And you might spell out what those one, two, three areas are. And at the end of that, we'll know whether we are a fit. And normally from there, we like to have a meeting with some people on our side, some people on your side to really build out the scope. Would that be okay with you? And they go, yeah, sure. Sounds good to me. So you've already planted the next step in the meeting. It could be even with when you're sending a proposal. Hey, send over that information, then I'll get back to you. Yeah, cool. Happy to send it over. What we like to normally do and where we find people get a lot more value is I'll put together a proposal. And what I'd love to do is just jump on a quick 5-minute call with you and just run you through it. Because normally, particularly in a project like this, we normally find a couple of areas of the scope that we need to clarify. So happy to send it over to you, but can we also book in that 5-minute call? How's your week looking this week? Again, you're priming the next step before you even send it. And it's important that you realize, team, that your proposal is the prize, okay? And far too many salespeople go from quick discovery to proposal quote way too quickly. And I want you to know that as soon as you send your proposal, as soon as you send your information, you naturally lose power because they've kind of got everything they need. So instead, what we want to do is make sure we don't give away that proposal or information too quickly, because you'll notice your buyers will chat with you easily and commonly up until you send the proposal. And that's normally where people ghost you. So realize that it's a prize. You don't need to give it away so quickly. And often you can use that kind of idea of, I'm going to put it all together for you, but I'd like love to have a discussion about this and this. It'll help me put together a better proposal instead of just diving straight to it, thinking that you need to be fast, giving it over, and then realizing, oh, they never want to talk to me again. The final tip I've got for you is to actually spend more time sharing the process rather than just the product. So the process, or the how, I like to call it, is you're educating your buyer through the discovery phase of like, cool, so just want to share with you, if you've got 2 seconds, I'll quickly share a slide or whatever it may be if you're on a Zoom call. I just want to share the process that we go through. Normally gives clients best results and helps mitigate this risk and this risk. And you start to spell out to them, hey, this is the process that we go through. So we're on discovery phase at the moment. From there, I'd love to introduce a couple of people to you. We'll put together a full proposal. And what we like to do after the proposal is a debrief meeting where we actually go through the scope. The reason we do this is often we put together proposals, or we've heard that people, competitors put together proposals, but there's a heap of scope gap. And then it gets confusing as to like, is everything covered? Why are they so cheap? Why is that person so expensive? And so we'd love to do that with the presentation. From there, we move into operations, we move into this, we move into that. And ultimately, we're getting to this end goal at the end. Does that make sense? And so you're spending more time actually educating them on the process rather than just thinking it's a transactional conversation of like, let me tell you tell me all this stuff, and then I'll give you the proposal, and then we're going to follow up. It's a pretty crap way of selling. So there are a couple of tips that will help you not get into the I will get back to you priming, educating the buyer on more of the process early, and realizing that your proposal is a prize. Don't give it away too soon. So hope that helps, team. Question number two, and I love this one. B2B content and marketing, finding the balance between providing valuable content and demonstrating industry knowledge, and not wasting resources on doing the same as our competition. So this is a big thing, right? We love content marketing. I believe every business has a lot more opportunity to do content marketing in a whole better way. And really, it's this idea of how do we build personal brand? How do we show ourselves as educators? And then how do we show our point of difference? That's normally the three pieces of this that really start to build brand. So let's talk about the first one, personal brand. If you find that you're just doing very generic content marketing, where all you're ever doing is talking about your product or your widget, to the market, it sounds exactly the same as anyone else promoting their product or widget. We're the fastest, we're the best, we've got the best quality, blah, blah, blah. The market doesn't care. This is where the personal brand starts to come in. One thing your competitors will never be able to replicate is you, the human being. And so we're big believers that every B2B salesperson should be building their LinkedIn profile, sharing more stories of what makes them them. I call it journal posts. So if you follow me on LinkedIn, every now and then you'll notice as a post that is seems somewhat unrelated to business, I use it as a form of storytelling, and I tie it back to a business objective. You know, recent one that I did was talking about my avid collection of Pokemon cards and how $100 vintage Pokemon card is worth way more to me as a prize to motivate me than $100 cash, right? So in that, I'm starting to share my personal passions. I'm starting to show the world that I'm a real human with real enjoyable things that are outside of the business. But the way I make it unique is I tie it back to a business goal. If you're a traveling sales rep at the moment, you might be in business development, take more content of what you're actually doing when you're traveling, when you're doing site visits, when you're meeting clients. Tell more stories of what's actually going on in your day-to-day. I call them journal posts, because if you're building personal brand, you're building value around you, you incorporated, that the competitor will never be able to do. The second tip with content marketing is you should be giving three times more than you're taking. And I want you to know that every time you take or have an ask for the audience, you need to replenish that with at least three more gives. People will tune out really quickly if all of your content is book a meeting with me. Hey, I'd love to visit you on site. Hey, give me this answer. Like take, 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 take. Instead, what you want to do is give people real answers to small problems. That's what people are desiring. And I see people go wrong with their content in this all the time. They try and make the give really, really large and abstract instead of like asking yourself, and you can do this right now, team, if you're taking notes, like, what is one, two, or three really simple problems that your market experiences on a day-to-day? and produce content on how you can solve for that really small problem, right? Feedback we're getting from some of our time savers, for those that have put, you know, the Momentum plug in for their Google Chrome so that it gives them a focus point, and Text Expander for saving time day to day. People are like, oh, love that. It's such a simple thing to implement, and it gives them a solve for a really small level problem. So if you start to think about the small level problems that your buyers have, you can start to give content that solves for it. And anytime you're doing a give, make sure that there is no ask. Okay. You'll see it in a lot of our email marketing. Even this is a give, right? We very rarely get to a point of saying, hey, here's how you sign up for our thing. It's sometimes we'll just be like, pure give, here's value, hope it helps, see you next week. This is what starts to build that long-term goodwill. So yeah, personal brand, make sure you're giving three times more than you're taking. And then the third thing is developing tools and assets, swipe files, one-page plans, whatever it may be, that are actually high quality, because anytime that you can give a buyer a tool, one of our best tools that we created was the whale flow process. So anytime you're trying to close a mega deal and you want to, you know, a big printout of like a end-to-end way that you can think about, you know, little tips along the way. Let us know if you want a copy of that, happy to share it with you. By developing that template, that tool, that poster that they can print out, that gives them huge value. And it's so simple, right? It's just a pure give. So that's another thing, is what tools, templates, swipe files, glorified Excel calculators. Another one we did was like the prospect scoring tool that we gave away. It works a treat. My mood said, oh, now I understand why you give away Monday morning tips for expediting work. It's a goodwill strategy. We've always been people that understand or believe that if we can create enough goodwill in the marketplace, eventually that will translate into value, but it's not necessarily why we're doing it. Sure, we want to tie it to a business outcome. We need to make money. But I noticed that I'm a way better human being when I'm in a give mindset than a take mindset. I noticed that I book more meetings when I'm in a give mindset than a take mindset. I find I've got the ability to negotiate and close when I've created goodwill with that client than when it's been lopsided. So hope that helps. Personal brand. Give three times more than you're taking, and think about tools, templates, swipe files. Question number three, reiterating your points of difference to a client when it comes to asking for the order at the close, and how you can take a client down the value path rather than the price route when selling a commodity. Okay. Commodity sales is tough because you'll naturally be compared to other commodities, and it's natural for a client to go, okay, is there a better way that I can buy this? Again, it's focusing more on the how and the who instead of the what. This is a problem that I see so many commodity-based sales rep gets into. You look at their website, you look at their marketing, you look at their sales conversation, and it's just around the what. It's all about the what. Instead of sharing insights around the how, the processes and how it all came to be, and the who, the storytelling of what, who are the people that are made up in your business? What are their specializations? Where do they add significant value? So you will stand out from the crowd, particularly in commodity-based sales, if you spend more time talking about the client's problems than your product. Okay, I'll reiterate that again. You will stand out from the crowd when you spend more time talking about the problems of your marketplace than the product that you sell. So the way we do this is we call it the three-headed monster. Again, a real practical thing you can start to think about today. And it's by understanding the top three problems that your marketplace experiences that you can solve for, and making sure that's part of the sales conversation. So our three-headed monster is, it sounds like this. Hey, Mr. or Mrs. Client. Hey, typically people come and work with us at Outbound because they're experiencing one, two, or all three of these problems. The first one is they're getting roller coaster sales results. Sometimes the months are up really high and the next months are really down. And ultimately they have no real ability to forecast or see what the future holds. It's a world of anxiety. The second one is the team are running a winging it sales approach where everyone's kind of doing it a little differently. And most of the time when you're looking at your nurture, when you're closing, when you're following up, it's just kind of winging it. There's no real set system, process, playbook to help everyone find, nurture, and close those deals. And the third problem is leaders and management forever feel the need to like motivate and drive their team, particularly around outbounds, instead of having the team motivated and driven from within. And as you start to speak about those problems, the buyer goes, yeah, they are significant. Let's talk about that. What's the impact of that? How is that showing up day to day? What's this costing you? All of a sudden, price of our service, of our playbook session, of our outbound subscription to the platform becomes insignificant in contrast to the problems. However, if all I ever did was saying, oh, I've got this outbound game platform, it's really cool, it integrates with your CRMs, it's got all these cool widgets, and naturally they're going to go, well, what's it cost? Well, that sounds expensive, because we haven't put the product into a problem. We've just spoken about the product. So that's really important. Do you know your three-headed monster? Are you bringing that up in sales conversations? Or are you only ever speaking about your product? If you are, you're naturally going to end up at the price route, and you're naturally going to be in a red ocean competing against everyone else, and they're going to compare you. So trust that makes sense, team. Let me know. Rapid fire question number four. We're qualifying and pushing back on quite a number of leads that aren't a fit for our core business, but we're struggling to bring in enough quality leads. Okay. The number one strategy I find for getting higher quality leads is to build high quality strategic partners. What I mean by that is often we think that we're the ones only responsible for driving leads. We have to do the outbounds. We have to do the marketing. We have to build the funnel. Little do we realize is there's strategic partners in our world, people where we can share mutual value. You're not competing, but together you add more. So a lot of people do this where they might engage a third party vendor or a third party business that focuses on a particular area that complements your business model. And you might do like a joint webinar, or you might build a dedicated referral program, or you might build a dedicated rev share arrangement. And then all of a sudden you've got multiple people bringing in quality as opposed to you being the one that has to go and find it. So number one, strategic partners, they're worth their weight in gold. The more you invest in them, the more they just compound. But the second one I find a lot of teams have an opportunity for is building a way better referral program, because like hangs out with like. There's that classic saying of, you know, you are the sum of the five people that you spend the most time with. Like there's this cross-pollination that happens with human beings. So if you do have some quality leads or quality clients in the past, it's likely that they're going to hang out with other potential quality clients. So build a better referral program so that you can help them also to find more people like them. So we've set up like dedicated landing pages. We've given away like $15,000 or more in R.M. Williams boots, because one of our processes is if you refer a successful client into one of our programs, the client that you're referring gets a better deal, but you get to select a pair of custom R.M. Williams boots. We do that very strategically, by the way, team, because R.M. Williams boots are flipping awesome and they last forever. So as we're sharing these gifts with people that have referred great business to us, all of a sudden they're wearing boots every day and part of their brain is thinking about, I got them from giving and I know who they're connected to. And that definitely plays on the mind psychologically. So if you want to see what an example of a referral landing page could look like, I've just put it in the chat. Actually, I need to chat that to everyone. mybrother.com/refer. You'll see how we've set it up and the landing page and just the simple form at the bottom and how we give away pairs of R.M. Williams boots or Weber barbecues. So I think every business has the opportunity to strengthen their referral program. Rapid fire question, touch on example closing scripts. Curious, what's the chances of getting your project underway this month? I think I know who put this in. Shout out to you, brother. Yeah, what's the chances is a great language pattern, like we said at the start of the call. But I only ever use one close. And I only think you actually need one close, maybe a second one if you want to feel it out. But it's this. I call it the simple process close. Sounds like this. It's a very simple process to get started. James, all I need from you is the simplest logical thing you need. So, like a returned email, a signature on this page, your confirmed quantities, whatever it may be. You should make that part really simple. So, it's a very simple process to get started, James. All I need from you is simplest thing you need. And then we can and tell them a future outcome. So, and then we can get that into production for you. And then we can book in that first call. And then we can get this sent out to you by Thursday. And then we can start the process on blah. So you tell them a future outcome. The reason this works is you want them to link in their mind that this is the simple thing that I need from you first. And then we can go and do a whole bunch of stuff for you. And this creates the urgency in terms of actually wanting to pass on that simple thing to get it started. And then the most important closing question is this: how does that sound? You might have joined into a previous Monday motivation where we said, we never want you to say, please don't hesitate to contact me if you have any questions or queries. That's the worst way to end your email, particularly when you're sending an offer or a proposal. I always replace it with the simple process close. So I don't say, please don't hesitate to contact me if you have any questions or queries. Instead, I go, it's a very simple process to get started. Name, all I need from you is, and then we can, how does that sound? Question mark. And that question mark means that the sales conversation is always open. And so I'm a big believer if you're doing sales emails, they should always end with a question mark. So I hope that helps. Like the sound of goodwill. Would like a bit more depth in that. We often deal with architects and try to get them specify our products. Feels like you have not don't have much goodwill to offer them here. Again, we're going back to this theme. The reason architects don't see much value in you is because you're going in there trying to talk about your product, but they've already got 700 samples behind them. That's why they don't ever accept your sample because it takes up valuable real estate. So instead, what you need to do is position yourself as a subject matter expert in a very niche field. Architects are always wanting to learn. They're always wanting to understand because that's a big part of their role. And they're also quite ego-driven, so they want to outcompete everyone else. So if you can go to them with a lunch and learn model and you actually genuinely educate them about something that is seriously specific, seriously niche, that you know that they might not have had the time to do. You put on the Subway platters, you get out the bottles of champagne, whatever it may be. That's how you can start to build goodwill with architects. They need to see you as an expert in a very niche field. Otherwise, they're going to see you as a sample selling salesperson, and they just don't have time for that. Next one. Nearly done in time here. There's a lot of tire pumping. I love this question. There's a lot of tire pumping. It would be good to see some healthy challenging. Yeah, well, I hope that we've given you some tire pumping, but here's your healthy challenge today, team. You will separate yourself from the entire pack if you're one of the 10% who actually takes what they learn and implement it. That's the challenge. If you come in here just to get pumped up and just to soak in information, but you're not doing anything with it, and here's the trick. All it takes is just one little change. That's all we're looking for every week, is for you to make one little change. You will separate yourself from the pack so quickly. So my healthy challenge for your team is use this content in your team meetings afterwards, and start to actually bring it to life. And all I want you to start asking yourself is, what's the one thing I can implement this week? And I'd love for you to do it today. Here's your healthy challenge, team. Put it in the chat. Be brave, be bold, be the one who actually talks. What's the one thing that you could implement based on all of the answers we've given you so far? Go for it. Chuck it in the chat. What's one thing? Just one thing. It could be the simplest thing. What's one thing you could start doing differently this week? That's the key. That's how you actually get results out of these sessions. Jesse says, what's the chances? I love that. Use it heaps. I'm going to skip through a few because we have run out of time. I might be able to reset and do a few more of these. So some of the other questions was people involved issues, best practice for closing the sale, answering a technical decision maker's objective to buying, creating urgency and momentum in a small team. I'll finish on this question, team. How do I create urgency and momentum within a small team? Guys, Doubt Down Blitz. We're launching it for free. We're in the very, very small little final parts of getting it polished, and we are absolutely pumped about this. But Outbound Blitz is going to be a free version of our outbound game platform to help you create urgency and momentum within a small team. The way it works is you can set up like a 24-hour, 48-hour, power hour, whatever you want to do to run a sales blitz. And the sales blitz is you create the podium rewards, a leaderboard. You come up with like your top three or four or five actions that you want to drive in that full day blitz or power hour. And then the game works in terms of gamifying all of that, creating coins for different activities, and you compete on the leaderboard. And if you finish on the top spot, you unlock the podium reward. Works an absolute treat. We're giving it away for free. What we would love for you to do is, if you're keen to get early access to Outbound Blitz, like I said, it's free. Go to outbound.game and you'll see in the top right hand corner, there's a button you can click to join the waiting list. We're going to be releasing it in stages so we can make sure that the product is as good as we can possibly make it. So if you want to be some of the first to get access to this for free, and by that, we'll also give you a little bit more support that we won't be doing long term. Jump on the waiting list. It's first in, best dressed. And we're so close to launching it, so we're absolutely pumped. So what do we got here? What's the chances? Bowl says, changing my closing line on the emails. That's a great way. Darren says, sales emails ending in a question mark. Really good. Mahmood says, trying to be in a giving mode. That's a big one. Email sales proposal to how does that sound at the end? Ruben, what's the chances? Beautiful, guys. These are just the little things that you can start doing that makes a massive, massive difference. So love for you to go to Outbound Game, join the waiting list. And as always, I open up 5 spots on my calendar every week to support people. By the way, team, if you've joined on a previous 30-minute session, chuck it in the chat. Let everyone know. We don't sell you. It's a real giving mindset that we do here. So if you want to book a little bit of time on my calendar this week, just go to calendly.com/ybravo-30. The link's in the chat. You can book a time on my calendar. I'll jump on a call with you for 30 minutes. We can dive into a specific answer or question that you've got. And like we said, it's all about goodwill. We're here to give. So love it. Travis says, recording link when available to review some of the questions. Absolutely. I'll send that to Darren's done too, and he's loved it. Thank you. Heinz, yes, Heinz did sign up because he had a specific problem, but I am pumped about what they're doing. Watch out for that world, LSG. Whew, they're about to dominate. So if there is something that we can genuinely help you with, and there is Skype, sure, we'd love to chat about it, but that's not our intention. We just want to get on there and give value. So love that, team. Thanks for joining me. Really appreciate it. I enjoyed that session. Let us know, by the way, team, did you get value out of that rapid fire question? Would you like to see more of those in the future where we just collate some of those quick questions and just give you some quick answers? Yep. Okay, cool. Love it. Okay, sweet. Thanks for the feedback. We would love to keep that going. So we'll make sure every now and then we do a rapid fire question session as well. So love it, team. I'll let you run. I know we're over time. So thanks for joining me. And I'll get the recording out to everyone soon as well. So thank you. Have a great week. Talk soon.